Hello, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. Glad you can join us tonight. Tell your friends to tune in. This is May 19th, 2004. Unless you're in New Zealand or Australia, probably May 20th already. Doesn't matter. We are the folks here who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of humanity. And those are the kind things we say about it. Anyway, and if you've been duped by your education, or actually crippled by your education, into believing you came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, we are here to help. Jonathan, we have the technology.
I believe so.
Yeah, we have the technology to straighten them out from all the lies they've been taught in their textbooks about, you know, billions of years ago, stuff like that. The Bible teaches very clearly the earth is about 6,000 years old. God made it in six literal 24-hour days. And God made the animals and plants to bring forth after their kind, and that is all we have ever observed. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog or a tree produce a non-tree. So if somebody believes that, that's perfectly fine. We don't care what they believe, but they shouldn't be calling it science. That's the big objection here. Okay, we have all kinds of things going on here. We have testimonies to read and a couple of announcements. You need to pray for our ministry here. We're in the middle of a couple of legal battles with the county and IRS, so it's going interestingly well. But need to keep us in prayer for that, if you would, please. We want to do what's right. We assume other people want to do what's right. It's not always the case, but that's what we would be hoping for. Okay. Okay, a couple of testimonies here. Here's one from Ed Waltman. Ed and Phyllis Waltman. This is to let you know my 14-year-old grandson, about my 14-year-old. His name is Adam. His address is in Shreveport, Louisiana. Okay, last summer, we brought Adam to Pensacola to visit your park, and while there, purchased several tapes and books. He became fascinated with creation science. He decided to do a science fair project on creation versus evolution. He won in his school and went to district. At district, he found himself surrounded by judges. One lady who taught evolution began a discussion with him. He was able to rebut her at every point, going from chemical makeup of cells to DNA, and finally to atoms, at which point she gave up and directed another judge to question him. It seemed the lady got very loud, and the other kids were astonished. They asked Adam why he would argue with the judge. He said he wasn't arguing, just debating. When he got home, he said, "I am dead in the water on this one." But the next day he went in and found he had won his division. He went to state and came in third place. Adam said this is his ministry. Needless to say, Granny is very proud. Adam's an excellent athlete and is well-balanced in his life. We wanted you to know about him, Phyllis. Well, thank you, Phyllis. I'm glad our ministry was able to inspire him a little bit. And, folks, if you haven't been down to see Dinosaur Adventure Land or seen our videotapes on creation and evolution, you really need to take a look at those. Our phone number, if you want to call in and be on the program, is 850-479-3466. 850-479-DINO. Or you can AOL Instant Message us at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinolive. Okay, I can take these other testimonies in a minute. Who we got on the phone there, John? Somebody calling in here?
Yeah, we've got Michael on line two.
Michael, go ahead.
Hey, Michael. Yes, Dr. Hovind, it's an honor to speak with you.
Well, thank you, sir.
I once in a while watch PBS.
That's a mistake.
I know, but I do like their Antiques Roadshow and
right.
A few things they have on there.
Sure.
Good. Well, anyway, they did this documentary on Earth's magnetic pole.
Hang on Earth's what now?
Earth's magnetic poles.
Sure.
And how it's, flipped and all this, and it's getting ready to flip again and all this money. And I've heard you state that it never did that. It's just, weaker and stronger magnetic forces. And supposedly, the way they were presenting it, as, in lava flows, where different ages of lava flows, and the cooling of the magnetite or whatever it is.
The magma?
Magma. When it cools, it lines up with the Earth's magnetic field at that time. And, they were trying to say, of course they're showing videos, and I was just trying to get some more information, because, from what with the fact that the Earth's magnetic field is deteriorating, all right?
Right.
You don't have to convince me of that. But I was just trying to understand what, how are they reading their information to get such erroneous information?
Well, they're assuming that below average means a reversal. Walt Brown's got a good article about that on his website, creationscience.com. You know, they find areas of stronger and weaker magnetism. That's true, but weaker doesn't mean reversed. An analogy might be if we measured everybody in your city and found out the average height was 5'6".
Right.
Okay. That doesn't mean everybody under 5'6" is negative, as in down in the ground. You know, they're just simply below the average.
So well, I can agree with that. Okay.
Okay.
But the way they were presenting it, and this is the problem, is I'm trying to work with their information, and you know, not knowing if they fudged it. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
So what I'm looking at is that they presented this as, you know, different layers were different strengths. You know, of course, they're saying millions of years, and of course, we know that's a farce.
Right.
But the point being is that they're trying to say that, you know, it goes up and down through the layers. Now, is it possible that Earth's magnetic field fluctuated during that time?
Well, I think Earth's magnetic field certainly fluctuates up and down. The couple of better explanations are, during the flood, the fountains of the deep broke open, and this rock along the mid-Atlantic ridge would have been twisted and turned every which way.
Uh-huh.
So it could be just a result of the moving of the rock. If you look at it,
I never thought of that part.
Yeah, if you look at a textbook, they have the magnetic reversals, nice, neat lines every so many, you know, 1,000 feet apart or something. It's just simply not the truth. I mean, it's a jumbled up mess, and it's stronger and weaker, and not necessarily reversed, according to Walt Brown, who has a PhD in physics and taught at the Air Force Academy for years.
Right.
So you could check out his site, creationscience.com. He's got a whole article about just that.
Well, I'll go back over that then.
All right.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Well, you're welcome. Call in anytime.
Okay, bye.
All right. Thank you, folks. If you want to call in, 850-479-DINO. 850-Pensacola, 479-3466. Oh, Jonathan, here's one with a frowny face. And it's not anonymous. Usually that French guy, Anonymous, writes us the frowny face ones, but this has got a name on it. Okay, Billy Koepsel, K-O-E-P-S-E-L, writes in, the fraud of using the names of good people to make money from them with your own idiotic drivel is despicable. This guy watches too many cartoons. Who's the guy that always said, that's despicable?
Daffy Duck,
despicable.
Of course, he'd spit halfway across
right.
the room when I did it.
Okay, your idiotic drivel is despicable, and I'm sure actionable. Ooh. So somebody's going to sue me for my idiotic drivel. I'm contacting all the people on your list of people that refuse to debate you to let them know you're using them to further your own ends. Well, Billy, please do. Contact them and say, hey, I'm still willing to debate. They have publicly refused to debate me, which is fine. That's their privilege. But they think, of course, the reason they lose the debates every time, they'll say, oh, it's because the audience is too dumb. No, it's because your theory is too dumb. Anybody thinks it came from a rock has a dumb theory that I don't think is defensible. And I think that theory is despicable. And the fact that they're teaching that at public expense in all the public schools is really a despicable.
Yeah. That would be the proper use of that term.
That's my totally unbiased opinion on the subject. Right? Here we go.
We actually did have one person on the list a few weeks ago that was on there by accident. Apparently a student had misinterpreted a teacher and we put her on there, but we did take them off. Whenever we're not going to do something disrespectfully or dishonestly.
Right.
Everybody on there is on there because they truthfully denied they did not want to debate you.
Right.
You know, we had one teacher who was on there by accident. We took it off.
So the teacher was willing to debate?
No. The student came up and said, well, you look at this article. The teacher said, I can't right now. She said, aha. So the student
took it as.
Repeat. Yeah.
Okay.
So. But the teacher apparently is a real sweet lady, a math teacher. But, you know, we're not going to sit here and be disrespectful or dishonest. We're not going to, you know, deceitfully put someone's name on there. If anybody calls us and say, hey, this is, you know, such and such situation, if it's truthfully, then we'll take it off. You know?
Sure, sure. Okay, here's one from Marcus, T-H-I-E-D-E. Thied. Dear Kent, wanted to drop you a short note, let you know how much you've changed my life. I am German and had the opportunity to see you speak at a church in the USA more than a year ago. At that time, I was in sort of a transitional phase, not truly satisfied with the scientific worldview which I've been taught by my parents, and of course in school, and faced with some rather specific personal experience of the scientific nature that made me think about God. Once I was truly convinced of this evolution stuff, which now seems to me like a dangerous trap for the mind that snaps even before you're aware it exists. So I saw you speak in my transitional state, and while I was sitting there, watching you, you filled in so many blanks in my mind at such a high rate, I was amazed and grateful to the Lord that I was still in the States to see you speak. For 2 days later, I went back to Germany. I downloaded your seminar series and watched them many times until I understood every single detail of this truth. I researched the topic, and none of the evolution critics' work I found is as comprehensive and conclusive and teaching as yours. Still, every now and then, I turn one of your videos on to listen to you speak while I fall asleep, just to give me comfort, hoping it will influence my subconscious mind to make me a better defender in front of those trapped minds all around. I also enjoy your radio show, although I can only listen to those you offer for download. Germany is cold climate for creationists, and implementing this truth here will need a special, non-dogmatic, non-polemic, unreproachful approach. By the end of the year, I will be finishing my university degree in media engineering, and I'm seriously thinking about starting to do seminars on creation. Maybe I'll write you again, ask for help. Wow, this is awesome. Well, thank you so much, Marcus. We appreciate that. Let's see. Oh, good. Okay, that's the end of the testimony. Now let's take some of the AOL instant messages that have been sent to us, and then get on to the other pile of questions that have been emailed or snail mailed to us. Here we have, let's see. W-H-O-K, Who Curse. Who Curse? There's a name. Writes in. Dr. Hovind, thank you again for coming to UC Irvine in California the other week. Just seeing you in person was a blessing to my wife and I. I watch your seminar time and time again and have shocked many friends and associates of mine with your videos. My question is, could you possibly advise me on any particular daily vitamin ritual for my wife and I? I've been doing research on my own, and sometimes I grow weary of what I believe to be vitamin packaging. Also, what source and what amount would you recommend of B17? Let's see. Who Curse? You are right there near one of the world's experts on vitamins and nutrition, in my humble, totally unbiased opinion. If you want to go to BillSardi.com, BillSardi, S-A-R-D-I.com, and ask Bill what you need to be taking. He is really, really sharp with nutrition and health and questions like that. I take whatever he tells me to take, and I feel pretty good most of the time. Go ahead. John, who's on the phone there?
We've got Daniel, a missionary, on line one.
Daniel, yes, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mexico, actually.
Hey, hola, señor. ¿Cómo está?
Estoy muy bien. Muy bien. I have a question. My wife and I, we have 7 children, and we have one. A couple of our kids are really interested in biology, and they're young. They're all young. And so I just wanted to get your advice on what we want to teach them. Obviously, from a Christian standpoint, their curriculum, and we homeschool our kids.
Right.
And so I just wanted to get your recommendations on the kind of curriculum you recommend and for this day as well.
Okay. There's a lot of good competition out there in the textbook market for homeschoolers. I think the largest one is probably Becca Books, which is about 100 yards from my house. I can hear the printing presses running on a good day. They are really good, as far as I know, doctrinally sound in every area. They are geared pretty fast, so it frustrates a lot of students because they try to cram so much into 1 year.
Okay.
My kids used it for years, went through the curriculum. There's Bob Jones' curriculum in South Carolina. They don't have the right stand on the King James, as far as I'm concerned, but I think they produce good stuff, especially in the creation science field. There's one called Landmark Freedom Baptist Curriculum down in Haines City, Florida. That is really good from what I've seen. That's Dr. Mickey Carter. I went to spoke at the, it's called Apache, which stands for something in Peoria, Illinois. A-P-A-C-H-E. Area? Break time. Anyway, I was surprised. There were 30 vendors, I think, pushing, textbooks for homeschoolers. So if you want to hold on through the break, I'll think of some more.
Hang on
there, brother. I'll be right back after the break.
Okay.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour, segment number 2. Is our caller still there, John?
I believe
I am.
Yes, sir. I just looked up Landmark Freedom Baptist Curriculum is down in Haines City. Their number is 800-700-5322.
5322.
800-700-5322. And they have, what I've seen anyway, is good stuff on creation. There's, okay. Pardon me?
I guess what I'm specifically looking for, we homeschool Rebecca right now. But what I'm, my thought is, I want to, like I said, he seems to have a high interest in it, and I'd like to give him supplemental material for the same thing that you do, basically, which is to prepare him to defend the creation viewpoint.
Right. How old is he?
So he don't laugh at this. He's 6 years old.
Okay. That's great.
And he learns tremendously fast. He remembers the weirdest things. And every single day he's teaching us new animals and how the size they are and how old they can get and all this kind of stuff. So he's got a real propensity towards it.
Well, great. Has he seen my video series?
I've actually just finished, I think I've got 12 of them, and okay. I've been watching myself. I think I've seen almost all of them twice. I'm trying to prepare. I don't really want to introduce him to evolution at all at this point in time.
Okay.
It's not true anyway, so I want to get started with the truth and wait for a later time to do that. So.
All right.
I don't know what you think of that approach or not. Or.
Well, yeah, it's tough to tell at what age, you know. Kids have to learn early,
right.
I guess, to distinguish between truth and lies. But a lot of parents call me and tell me their 4, 5, and 6-year-olds absolutely love my video series. There's so many
okay.
pictures and a lot of visuals and humor.
Right.
But we have a children's video about dinosaurs that we did. There's a couple of ladies down in South Florida that did a called a creation study guide for kindergarten through 12th grade. It's a good creation course. I'll give you their phone number.
Okay.
941-267-6416. 941-267-6416. I believe that's the phone number for Jill Whitlock. WHITLOCK.
Okay.
If that phone number is still good, it's a couple years old. I mean, I'm assuming it's still good. Yeah.
Okay. I have one other question for you,
sure.
If you don't mind me asking real quick.
No problem.
We're missionaries to the Baja Peninsula, in Mexico.
Yes,
and
sir.
I assume there are dinosaur digs that go on down here. I was wondering if you would know any information about that. I'd like to do that as a project for our kids for homeschooling sometime if there is something like that.
I heard
of probably evolutionists, so.
There probably are. I tell you who would know would be Joe Taylor. He does dinosaur digs all over the world.
Okay.
He's a creationist. His website is mountblanco.com. MTBLANCO. He's actually in West Texas, but he's got a museum.
Mount Blanco?
Pardon me?
What was that website again?
Mount Blanco.
Okay.
Just MTBLANCO.com.
Okay.
Well, you know Blanco? Spanish for white.
Yeah, Blanco. Yeah.
Blanco. Yes. So if you go ask Joe Taylor if he knows. If he doesn't, he'll know who will. But he does dinosaur digs everywhere.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Call in anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hasta luego, senor. All right, folks. If you want to call in, you can be on the program, 850-479-3466. And our lovely Diane will take your call. Or if you just want to order a catalog of our materials, or actually order materials. We stay open late on every night so that somebody can order stuff off our website. Our videotapes will change your life, we hope. That's the goal. For the better. Okay, here's one from Twinkle100%. Writes in, I have grandparents that are really searching out what they believe. They are blood Jews and not really practicing Judaism. They believe in evolution, which is hard to believe. But what book would you recommend them to read? They like to read, but don't want to overwhelm them. Can you think of a book that gives them proof against evolution, leads them to Christ at the same time?
The Book of Moses.
The Book of Moses, yeah.
Except that.
Well, there's a book that's called The Case Against Darwin. It's for those who don't have a lot of time but are pretty smart. It's by James Perloff. It's excellent. It's like $6. Paperback, it's a quick read, and it's power-packed. We have it on our website. Go to drdino.com and look for The Case Against Darwin. That would be if you want something, you know, not too heavy, quick that they'll read. If you want to go down deeper and hit them harder, there are all kinds of books listed on our website with a short description of each. Creation Science Web's the video book, the book called Creation by Henry Morris. My brain went blank. Scientific Creationism by Henry Morris. That would be a good one also that might help. Oh, my gorgeous wife walking through. Hi, dear. Do you want to be on the radio today? No? That dress looks pretty, dear. Here we go. Yeah, there's all kinds of good books. There's one called Evolution Cruncher. It's 900 pages, and it's only $5. They printed about 1 million of them on kind of cheap paper, but boy, if it's cheap enough, you can get a lot of them and give them out to everybody you know. That's a good one too. Very thorough book. The Evolution Cruncher. Might want to check that one out. Hope that helps. Okay, take a few questions that have been emailed to us. If you want to get yours in the pile, you can get ahead of the pile by simply calling in 850-479-DINO, or you can AOL instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Gordon Miller, sorry I kept you waiting from yesterday, Gordon. Here goes. My question is, how do ducks swim in ice-cold water and not get frostbite or freeze their feet off? I'm truly amazed at how God did this. Thank you for your help and your ministry. I know it is helping. My oldest daughter stood up to her whole class and shared with them about the age of the earth. Praise God. Let's see. How do ducks swim in cold water and not freeze their feet off? What do you think, Jonathan? You're from Illinois where it gets cold?
They probably have hydrothermal feet. Well, I don't know. I'm not a duck, and I don't swim in cold water. I try to stay away from cold water.
They keep them moving. I know that.
Give me the blood flow. I mean, they move those things pretty quickly.
Sure. Well, actually, a lot of them fly south for the winter for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because they don't like the cold either. Gordon, you might want to ask that question to Frank Sherwin, who works at ICR.org. He's a good friend of mine and is a zoologist and has a great vast knowledge about critters. They probably have some special feature, like a giraffe has special features to allow him to, you know, bend down and get a drink and then stand up 17 feet and not pass out, because he's got all kinds of special blood vessels and a sponge around his brain that absorbs the last pump of blood, et cetera, et cetera. They're very well designed for what they do, so I bet God thought of that.
Well, Flippers, you know, this guy that you just recently debated, Michael Shermer, he likes to use the homologous structures in a whale flipper for evidence for evolution, even though it's not. But even the whale flipper, it's like a built-in air conditioner and heater for the whales.
Regulates their body temperature.
Yeah, it's amazing design right there. So,
well, now you realize for millions of years, they all died. None of them survived until they learned how to do that.
They were like, you know, it's not too much fun dying. Yes. Let's just go ahead.
They all
evolve.
Died until one of them finally evolved. Amen. Okay, Jeremy Lashley writes in, Dr. Hovind, I recently watched your 7-DVD seminar and enjoyed it a lot. I began looking at your website and FAQ and followed a link to the website of Ron Wyatt. I then read about what he thinks about the Ark of the Covenant. I was just wondering if you could let me know just how valid the statements are that the blood he found on the Ark could be Jesus, and that that is the actual Ark. If both are true, it is really amazing. I would like to tell more people about this amazing thing. Jeremy, I sat with Ron Wyatt for several hours and as he told me about finding the Ark of the Covenant. Now, Ron died in 99. You can call his ministry at wyattmuseum.com and talk to Richard Reeves, who was his partner for years. And you can talk to Ron's wife, Nell, who's his widow, is still surviving. They will both tell you Ron was an honest man who feared lying and feared God greatly. And I said, Ron, he told me about, you know, going through the cave, finding the Ark of the Covenant with the blood on it, okay? I sat there for several hours. I said, Ron, do you know how far-fetched this story sounds? He said, Brother Hovind, if you were telling me, I wouldn't believe you. He said, but I know the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, and I am telling you, this is what happened. Okay. I have never seen it. I did not go in the cave. I have been near the spot where Jesus was crucified. It's right there in the garden tomb, same place where he was buried. You know, if you ever go over to Israel, it's just in that same, within 50 yards of the same place. So, I don't know. I think the story he told is true. That's all I can do. I can't verify it. But as far as it being Jesus' blood dripping down 20 feet through the rock, that is certainly possible. The Bible says the rocks rent. Ron's story says he found the crucifixion site. Rock was cracked right at the foot of the cross, and it is. And the crack goes all the way down through 20 feet of rock into this cave where the Ark of the Covenant and other temple furniture had been hidden. Have you seen Wyatt Discovery's video or anything on that, Jonathan?
I do remember reading about this particular story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he says there was dried blood on the ceiling of the little cave in there and dried blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and it was human blood. I don't know. Interesting story. Okay, Timothy Johnson. So I can neither confirm nor deny the report. That'd be a legal, official way to say it. Timothy Johnson writes in, I've heard that the Red Sea in Exodus was actually the Reed Sea and the Dead Sea Scrolls. I don't know who made the discovery, but if it's factual, I read that an archaeological team has been diving in the Gulf of Aqaba and found evidence of chariot wheels along a flat corridor that spans the Gulf from shore to shore. Okay, yes, Timothy, they did find, I believe, the place where they crossed the Red Sea. It is not correct to call it the Reed Sea. It, you know, some people say it was the Reed Sea, it's ankle-deep water, and so the children of Israel made it across. Oh, and Pharaoh's army all drowned in ankle-deep water. I can see it now. Everybody lay down, stick your head in the water, and don't get up till I tell you. That's ludicrous, okay? The Bible says the horses drowned. Everything drowned. They're not going to drown the horses in ankle-deep water.
But they put their heads down, too.
Yeah, the horses are real obedient. Train horses. Train them. Stick your head down till you drown. I don't believe that. So, as far as the Gulf of Aqaba, if you look at the Gulf of the Red Sea, it comes up to the top and it splits. The right fork is called the Gulf of Aqaba, which ends at the town of Eilat, where I was a year and a half ago. And the Gulf of Suez ends at the Suez Canal. So, who cares? The Gulf of Aqaba apparently is where they crossed. The Sinai Peninsula is not even where Mount Sinai is. The whole thing should not even be called Sinai Peninsula because that's not Mount Sinai is not there. Galatians 4 tells us Sinai is in Arabia. So read Galatians chapter 4. Okay. Phyllis writes in. You say on your CD, the King James Bible is the true translation. Does that mean the New King James also? My understanding was that it was the same with the exception of taking out these and thous. I'd appreciate a reply if you have time. Our small group has totally enjoyed your CDs debating evolution. So you've opened our eyes with many new and exciting things. Thank you for your ministry. God bless Philip. Phyllis, I would be very nervous about the New King James also. You might want to go to the website avpublications.com. Now, there is a book available called King James Version ER for easy reading where they've made some changes. I don't know if I can recommend it or not. I guess I think so. I get a little nervous about anybody changing the Bible at all for any reason because I'm not sure I would trust anybody with something as precious as God's Word to make what changes they think are appropriate. The these and thous are very important in the King James. They're there for a reason, to distinguish between singular and plural. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, singular, ye, which is plural, must be born again."
Mm-hmm.
He's telling Nicodemus, "I'm telling you that everybody must be born again." Otherwise, it would read, "I'm telling you that you must be born again." Okay, well, then that doesn't apply to me. It applies to him. But Jesus said unto thee, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So if it starts with a Y, it's plural. If it starts with a T, it's singular. And plus the beauty of the King James is pretty hard to, you can't pass that up. Shakespeare was at its, that was the time of Shakespeare. English language is at its peak. It was really a good time for the English Bible to be done.
They didn't just take out these and thous and so forth. They took out a few Jesus's, Lord's, God's, and Holy Spirit's as well.
In the New King James.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually harder to read. Use a lot bigger words in many cases. Have you seen the chart with the comparison of big words and little words?
I've seen the chart, but I actually tried reading. There's another translation called the Remix Bible, and it's supposed to be a 21st century one. I tried reading the other day. I can read it, but it's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because they're using such weird words.
Right.
You know, it almost makes me...
Well, see, in order to get a copyright, you have to change a certain percentage of the book, or it's to make it considered a new book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 60,000 words or something must be changed. There's a certain percentage, okay? And so they always change a bunch of words, even if they don't need to be changed. They change them anyway, just so they can get their copyright, so they can make their money. That's what it goes back to, with the money. Just like everything else, like the battle with the county building permit here. It's the money. It's always the money.
60,000 is a lot of words.
Yeah. Okay. And Steve Redman writes in, "Hey, what do you think of the validity of Bible code? Seems like God gives us all we need clearly in Scripture to read straightforward. But also it does say we can see through a glass darkly. I saw a documentary on the Discovery Channel about Bermuda Triangle. Oh, gas buildup. Okay, let's see. So what's your thoughts on the Bible codes?" Well, Steve, I don't know, to be honest. I have read several things. Grant Jeffrey has a great chapter in his book called The Signature of God about the Bible codes. Chuck Missler at khouse.org has several great books about the Bible codes. I don't know. Have you studied any of that, Jonathan?
I actually bought one of the leading applications they use to decipher, I'll put quotes around that, the Bible. It seems pretty interesting. There are pretty amazing codes brought out with some amazing statistics. I have not figured out how to use a program yet. It seems like it might be actually, you know, possible. Of course, you have to be skeptical about those sorts of things when people say, oh, you can look beyond what the word says. You know, not saying it's not true, but again, like you were saying before, I can neither deny, you know, nor verify.
Confirm or deny.
Yeah. But the Bible is obviously has some amazing things about it. When the Lord speaks, amazing things are going to be said. You know, it has amazing connections between numerical values all through Scripture. So, who knows? I guess we'll know when we get to heaven for sure.
Yeah, I think you ought to study it. And some people, like Hank Hanegraaff, has blasted me like 6 times on his radio program without ever giving me a chance to come on and defend myself,
mm-hmm.
not once. But over the Bible codes and other issues like that. And, you know, lighten up, Hank, okay? Here we go. Daniel Jordan writes in, I was confronted with a thought that I have been dwelling on for days. I've had that happen. Dwell on a thought for days. Yeah, I had a thought once, but I got lonely and left. My brother told me. Someone proposed a question to me about whether Satan and Lucifer were actually the same person. My initial reaction was obviously yes, but it was only because I've always been taught that, and not because I had scripture to back it up. I've not been able to find scripture that actually proves that Lucifer and Satan are the same person, just with two names. What do you think? Well, let's see. Daniel? Satan is given many names. Break time. Let me come back after the break with an answer to that one. I'll see what I can find in scripture during the break. Stay with us, folks, and check out drdino.com. We've got a lot of cool stuff on there. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is the final segment, John, and then I got to go over and teach my class at church tonight. Marcus Point Baptist Church, we teach on creation every Wednesday night. Let's see, you want to know if Satan and Lucifer were the same person. Well, let's see, I found a couple of quick references that may shed some light on this. Revelation chapter 12 says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Here we see that he's called the devil and Satan and the dragon and the serpent. So, same guy has several names. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I think I would have to say, yes, Satan and Lucifer are the same person, but Lucifer apparently was his name before he fell. Lucifer means the light bearer, and he was apparently the guy who sang the praises of God there before he fell from heaven, which would have been probably 100 years after the creation. Okay. Here's one from Matt Chasco, C-H-A-S-C-O. Matt writes in, hello, I've emailed you before and was just wondering about something again. Dr. Oven said that analog computers were found in 2,000-year-old rock. But my question is, what if someone in the future travels back to the past 2,000 years ago and somehow leaves a computer there? Now, that's a tough one. If somebody from the future goes back before us and leaves something in the rock.
You know, the whole time travel thing sounds pretty interesting. If someone, if we are going to be able to travel through time in the future, why haven't we met somebody from the future yet?
Right.
Because obviously, if, say, 2026, we can go back anywhere we want. Someone would have probably come here by now.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody.
I haven't seen anybody.
I've seen some that are living pretty far in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody from the
holding
future.
On just a little too long.
Yeah.
Afro,
okay.
Bell bottoms.
I think it's hocus pocus. I think God is the only one that's not stuck in time. We are stuck in time. So I think I have to beg off by saying I don't think time travel is possible. I know it's currently not possible. So I wouldn't buy it. All right. Here's one from Rusty Havens. What can we do to change the science books in Louisiana? I cannot stand a theory being taught as fact or, as my science teacher says, accepted theory. Please tell me what I can do to help. Thanks, Rusty. Rusty, I don't think you should try to get evolution out of your textbooks, nor should you try to get creation into your textbooks. Just simply get the lies out. Watch my video number 4, where I mention quite a few of the lies in the textbooks, and go and say, hey, teacher, remove this page, please. This is not correct. Don't try to get the Bible in. Don't try to get creation in. Don't try to get evolution out. Just get lies out, and the textbooks will be Well, fine might be a strong word, but they'll be usable. Okay. Here we go. AOL instant message coming in from Kakarot, 3/14/19. I have a question. Let's say that one day you prove the creation took place instead of evolution. But how do you that it is, I'm assuming you mean, how do you know that it is the Christian God who created us? What if it was the Jewish God or the Muslim God or some sort of pagan God? I was just wondering if you have any evidence that the Christian God is the God that created us. Well, it's a good question. Actually, the first argument is there a creator? And I think that's quite obvious. There must have been a creator as opposed to just atheistic evolution. The second question would be, who is this creator? Is it Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, etc.? And that is a totally different set of arguments, but the Christian God, the God of the Bible, claims to be the only true God. There is none else besides him. That's what he claims. He claims to have written a book that is absolutely flawless and perfect, no mistakes. The God of the Muslims, of course, the Muslim Quran has hundreds of just glaring mistakes. Scientific mistakes. One of them says in the Quran someplace, it says the Muslim has one intestine and the non-Muslim has seven intestines.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if you look up to heaven while you pray, your eyes will be snatched out of your head. Just dumb stuff. I mean, here we are watching the thing on Saddam the other night, you know, the terrors of Saddam, what he did to his people. You didn't get to see that, did you, on TV?
No, not
yet. They taped that. It is really powerful. What an evil, wicked man. He killed his first person when he was 10, murdered his first person, murdered a lot of folks during his life. But how did I get off on that? Oh, the Quran teaches, you know, you have to murder anybody who's not, who won't convert. Or nail them to a tree. Or cut their arms and legs off. Either one. Be your choice. Which would you prefer? Nail to a tree, cut your hands and feet off, or kill you?
I think the first two would basically lead to the third, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it seems to me like it's
it'd just be slower. You can also go, and you know, you don't always have to have a process of elimination, eliminate all the other ones. You can look at the Bible. The Bible makes some very serious claims that we can test.
Right.
It claims that all, you know, all population of people today are descended from two people. And they can check this, you know, I'm sure you've heard of the mitochondrial DNA stuff.
Right.
Just recently they've actually found out that, hey, we're coming from one woman. They've got this out of Africa theory that even the evolutionists entertain, that we all came out of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says we came from clay. They're starting to talk about that today. The Bible says there was a global flood. We know that from looking at geology and, you know, just the history of life on Earth. Or, you know, hesitate to say history,
right.
But it is in the past, whatever it is. So the Bible makes specific claims that we can test and that really do verify its authenticity.
Plus, I think if you look at the God of the other religions, you'll find they are capricious. They change all the time. They're unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
They're ruthless. The God of the Muslims, oh, you can't know him. We've got a book that we sell called Who Is This Allah? You may want to get that one from our website. If you want to understand the Muslim God, boy, it is certainly not the God of the Bible. That's for sure. It's a cruel, cruel God, and you can never know if you've done enough to please him. The poor Muslims, they never know if they're going to heaven or not till they die. The only way they can know for sure is to blow themselves up and kill a Christian or a Jew in the process. Then they're promised a sure home in heaven. Otherwise, everybody else has to wonder all their life. That's sad, sad, sad that people believe that stuff. Okay, Shane Freeman writes in, back to Kakarot's question. The God of the Jews, in theory at least, is the same as the God of the Christians. They just don't accept the New Testament, and they should, and they will one day. Shane Freeman writes in, do you know anything about dark matter, antimatter, and missing matter that controls time flow, he says. Be nice to get a creationist info on this. I hate evolution. Please email me. I'm 16. Shane. Well, Shane, thank you so much. I think dark matter, antimatter, and missing matter are all baloney that are used to try to rescue or support the evolution theory. Truth of the matter is, we can see stars and galaxies and bazillions of miles and nothing in between, and that makes a real problem for the evolutionist and his Big Bang theory. Yeah, that's, I think, covered on ICR.org. If you want to get their website, they have good stuff on that. Here's one from Sophia Finder, who writes in, I'm helping my public school fifth grader with her science project. I was hoping to find some science project ideas. Do you have any science fair project ideas? Well, Jonathan, is it on our website, our Science Project Ideas video?
The video, yes.
Yes, we have a video of Science Project Ideas. It's called Science Fair
Projects.
Projects Ideas.
Very original. We thought of it all on our own.
If you search our website, how would you find it? Or can you?
You can just go to the front page and type in Science Fair Projects.
Okay.
And they will bring
front
it up.
Page, type in Science Fair Projects, it'll find it. So, Anna Sophia, hope that helps. We've had a lot of students use those science project ideas and do really well in their science fairs, which is the object here.
I actually heard a very interesting report from a young lady who had a science fair. And her project was she brought in her uncle and would tempt him with a banana. And he would reject it, and that would be evolution, or proof against evolution. She actually got first place, I think, too.
For tempting her uncle with a banana, and
yeah.
He rejected it.
He rejected it. So there's no possible way he could be the descendant of an ape-like ancestor.
You know, that's proof.
That is proof. You know, one guy tried to use you eating bananas proof of evolution.
Right.
So why not use you not eating bananas as evidence against evolution?
Well, I asked one professor one time, I said, now, if you believe you came from an ape-like ancestor, apes are really hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Open your shirt. Let me see how much hair you got on your chest. Let's see who's closest to the ape. He didn't want to do it. He didn't do it, actually. Lucas writes in, on the day trees were created, if a tree had 78 rings, would it be fair to say the tree was 78 years old, or at least created with age? No, Lucas, it would be fair to say the tree had 78 rings.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't created with age, it was created with rings. Now, today, the rings generally are interpreted as age, but that's not always the case. A tree can produce 2 or 3 rings a year. It's actually a growth pattern.
I wonder if they would even have 78 rings. Do you think it would just be...
Just solid wood.
Yeah.
Well, the rings of a tree, the hard and soft layers, make what's called the laminate effect, like plywood. Lamination gives it more strength. With the hard, soft, it gives it flexibility and strength at the same time. So probably rings would be necessary for some types of trees just to be able to hold their branches up.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't support the weight. Of course, there's a lot of different types of wood, but that is a general rule. They have the rings to help give them more strength. Okay, Alicia writes in, I was told by my science teacher that we are made of stardust. Is this true? Alicia, this is not true. We were made of earth dust, Adam was, in the image of God. God took the dust of the ground. This idea that we came from stardust, 20 billion years ago is ludicrous. Tell the teacher to watch my videotape number 1. Offer him $20 to watch it. They'll get it. Or if that won't do it, try 50. Here we go. Arez, A-R-E-Z-Z, writes here. Dr. Ovin, do you think the gay marriage agenda is more about the gay marriage? If it passes in all 50 states, what do you think will happen to Christians in the Bible? Well, Areza, there's a much bigger picture. Two guys walk in and say, hey, we want a marriage license. And they say, oh, okay, we don't discriminate against gays here. So they give them a marriage license. So 4 people walk in, 2 men and 2 women. Say, we want a marriage license. Oh, okay, well, here's 2 licenses. No, we want 1 license. We want to all marry each other. Oh, okay. So here you go. Here's your marriage license. So a guy walks in with his dog. Here's my dog. I want to marry my dog. Okay, here's your marriage license. Another guy walks in. I want to marry myself. I want a marriage license. Yourself? Yeah, marriage license. Somebody else walks in with a tree. Here, I want to marry this tree. Where's my license? Okay. The bigger question is, why is the state issuing marriage licenses at all?
Mm-hmm.
Period. Any. Why are they involved in marriage, okay? At all. People aren't catching the much bigger picture here.
Yeah.
And there is no stopping that. I mean, that's where it's going to go.
Well, it's a covenant that God gave, not between 2 men. We got to really establish that first off. It is when God created, Jesus himself in Matthew 19:4 and Mark 10:6 said, in the beginning God made them male and female.
Right.
I'm sure he probably stressed that fee on there as well.
Yeah.
So it's a covenant between God.
I never thought of that. There is quite a fee.
There is quite a fee there.
You haven't found out yet, Jonathan, what it's going to cost.
Yeah, that's probably why he called her female.
That's
very expensive
to have a
wife.
Real
but,
expensive.
It's a covenant between God, the husband and the wife, not between God, the government, and the husband and the wife.
Right.
So, we've gone down the drain today.
We really have. So God came to Adam and said, I'm going to make you a wife. She's going to obey your every wish. She's always going to be sweet and cheerful. She's always going to do whatever you tell her to do. He's going to say, what's this going to cost me? And God says, an arm and a leg. Adam says, what can I get for just a rib? Well, you don't quite get the same package, Adam, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Amanda, we got 3 minutes. I got to hurry here. Amanda writes in. Amanda, I'm 14 years old in the ninth grade. I just recently finished one of your tapes for school. You're talking about the Ice Age. That is tape number 6, Amanda, the Hoban theory. You said that your theory about the Noah's flood and how it happened was that all the snow and ice melted from the Ice Age, and that's how the flood started. Oh, no, no, not quite, Amanda. I believe the Earth got struck by an ice meteor. And that's just a theory. I don't care if it's true or not. It's something to model your thinking on. And then that cracked the Earth, and the fountains of the deep broke open, and the water came gushing out. Most of the flood water came from inside the Earth. Read Psalm 24:1 and Psalm 136, verse 6, I believe, or 7, about the water that was stored in the Earth before the flood came. And the fountains of the deep and breaking open caused most of the flood water to appear on the surface. Plus, it rained 40 days. Some of that may have been water coming down that was jetted out from inside the earth. Some may have been from a canopy that I believe is mentioned in Genesis 1, 6, and 7, and 2 Peter 3, falling down. Okay. So, hope that helps. Amanda, we are done. Tune in again tomorrow, folks. We'll be here live, Lord willing. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.